All right, well, you want to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Read a few verses here. Genesis chapter 3. Ask the Lord to bless the message again first. Father, we love you and thank you for your word. Please bless the message today. Talk to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter number 3, the Word of God. We know here that God had, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see the creation, and we see the creation of man, and taking Eve out of man, and giving Eve to Adam to be his wife. And God had given him a one rule: don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And here we are, and the serpent comes along, and in verse 1, and we'll begin there. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any of the beasts of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of every tree of the eat of every fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Whence art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." I want to stop right there. I want to look at some things by the grace of God. I want to talk about the subtlety of the serpent. The subtlety of the serpent. We're not supposed to be ignorant of his devices, and we can see his devices here in Genesis chapter number 3. We know that the serpent's that old serpent, the devil, and we know that he's at work today, and he's working harder today than he probably was yesterday. He knows his time is short. And he knows that when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, his time was sealed. It was over for him. Jesus Christ is victorious, and we're victorious in Christ. But I want to look at a few things by the grace of God about that attack and about the subtlety of the serpent. The first thing I want to see in verse number 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the attack on God's Word. He attacks God's Word. He attacks God's Word. We've talked about this before. We'll give you a little brief history lesson. God had preserved this land over here. He had not allowed this land to be founded before the King James Bible was written. He had, just through divine providence, he had protected this land, and he was going to use this land. He had a plan for the United States of America. And no, it wasn't so you could be rich and have all this stuff. It was so you could be a blessing to the cause of Jesus Christ and lift up and glorify the name and the Word of God. So God had providentially protected this land and saved it from being inhabited by the pagans and the Babylonian influence for years until the King James Bible was translated. And that Bible was brought over here, and God used that to create a nation that's like no other nation. Even today, this is a junkyard compared to what it was in 1776, amen? But even today, it's like no other nation. God's still blessing this country in spite of us, amen? In spite of our bad politicians, in spite of our bad school system, in spite of our bad beliefs, in spite of the fact that this country, for most parts, is a Babylonian trash can, amen? We don't believe the Word of God as a nation anymore. We don't take the Word of God seriously. But, you know, what happened was in the 1880s, you know, the devil used a couple men named Westcott and Hort to come along and pervert the Greek text of the translate English, the New English versions. And then that's what happened. And he said, well, we have the Word of God. We do. I've got it right there. It's right up, copy it right there. If you don't have one, you can look at mine if you want. You ought to get you one. I've got one on the desk. If you don't have one, I'll get you one. Amen. King James Bible, Word of God. come from Texas Receptus, a pure line, all the way down through Antioch, Syria, where the Christians are first called Christians. All the other stuff come through Rome, the Babylonian garbage can there, and it come through the Vaticanus and City Anicus, and it come through Westcott and Hort. And Westcott and Hort, about the 1800s, they come along and they pervert the text and they create these supposed new versions. And you know what the devil did? The devil doesn't care if you read the King James Bible. He just doesn't want you to believe it. See, what he said was, "Yea, hath God said." I've talked to people all over the country, different people from all over the country that have a King James Bible and don't believe it. You know why? Because "yea, hath God said." Oh, they believe it might be the best copy, it might be the best translation, it might be a good translation, but they don't believe it's it, because "yea, hath God said." He attacks the Word of God. You say, "Well, I've got my Bible, I'm still all right." Well, as long as you believe it, you're reading it, you're rightly dividing it, you're listening to the teaching and the preaching, and you're trying to live it, praise God, that's a good thing. But what the devil wants to do is he wants to get in your head and he wants to get you to doubt, even though you believe the book, he wants to doubt some of the things in the book. Amen? That's what he's doing today. You say, "Well, why is this stuff going on? Why is there Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and Southern Baptists?" Amen? Why in the world? Who would believe that? We'd be talking about Southern Baptists with that group. But here we are in 2023, lumping them in there with the backslid Methodists and the crazy Presbyterians and all the people that have left the truth. And used to say, "Well, pretty much everybody believed the same thing. You know, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood for salvation. It's all through grace and faith, and it's nothing to do with our works. We get his imputed righteousness, his justification. We're sanctified, set apart for a purpose. We get all these things because of the blood of Christ, and God the Father was happy with that." Well, everybody used to believe that. Now 2/3 of the Baptists don't even understand that. Because the devil said, "Yea, hath God said." We talked about this in Sunday school. You know, we're looking for the rapture. You call it what you want. You call it the catching away. You call it the come up hither. I'm still going, amen. I hope it's to come up hither today, amen. I'm Revelation chapter 4 bound, amen. Just like John in chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Come up hither. We're getting out of here. I'm looking for the rapture. You know there are Baptists out there who say there's no rapture? You believe that? Because "yea, hath God said." The serpent, his subtle attack on the belief in the words of God. If you can get to, if you can say, "Well, whatever Bible, you know, they're all about the same, any version you get, and you know, they all don't say the same thing, but they all got the same principles." If you can get somebody to doubt the word of God, you can get them to doubt about anything. And that's what they've done. "Yea, hath God said." Say, "Well, that tribulation, that pre-tribulation rapture, that's something that was made up. That hadn't been around that long. That was in 1800s, 1700s, whatever." There are writings from 200 AD, which is less than 200 years after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, where church fathers said they were looking to get out of here before the great tribulation time for the Jews. That's a long time to believe something. And now they got a new revelation. Here we are in the last days, the days of apostasy, at the end of the church age, the end of the Laodicean church age, where everybody's going haywire and they've ditched the Bible and they're just going on what they want to believe. And they're saying they've got something good and the old stuff's bad. I'll tell you something. Paul believed the rapture was coming and he was going out in it. Paul was not looking to go through the tribulation. Paul was not looking to go halfway through the tribulation. Paul, by the Acts chapter 13, Paul wasn't looking for the millennial reign. Paul was looking for the rapture. He was talking about the dead in Christ, and he said, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them." We which are... He thought he was going to be raptured out. Peter, James, and John, you're not going to hear them before Paul's revelation talking about a rapture. They're looking at a kingdom. Paul thought he was going to be raptured out. But see, Paul didn't totally understand the timeline, but he knew the signs. He knew what was going on. But see, now they say, "Well, there's no tribulation rapture." I mean, I talked to a guy here a while back. He doesn't even believe there's a literal millennial reign. He doesn't believe that Satan's literally going to be bound for 1,000 years. He says Satan's partially bound now. Well, I got a Bible. It doesn't say partially bound. It says he's bound for 1,000 years while Jesus Christ rules and reigns on this earth on the throne of David. But see, "yea, hath God said." The subtlety of the sermon, serpent, he attacks God's words. You know what he'll do? He'll try to get people to doubt the Bible. He'll try to get people to doubt solid church doctrine. And he'll try to get in the words between my mouth and your ears and mess with them. You ever said, "Did he say that?" I'm not saying I always say everything right. Did you ever think that? Whoa, what about that? And the devil just wants to mess something up. He's the prince of the power of the air. If he can get a hold of these words before they get to your ear, read your Bible. Amen. Read your Bible. The attack on God's word. Look at 2 through 5. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The attack on the woman. The attack on God's word, we see the attack on the woman. So what's that? What are you saying? I'm saying he attacks the weaker vessel. You say, well, yeah, the husband and the wife, the husband's the stronger one spiritually supposed to be, amen. The husband's supposed to be following the Lord Jesus Christ as close as he can, and the woman's going to be the weaker spiritual vessel because the women, generally back in the old days anyway, they run more on emotion than men did, amen. And women were more emotional to protect their babies, and fathers were more brute to protect their family, amen. And, you know, the weaker vessel. And we look at the weaker vessel, we always think of a husband and wife, but I think we forget the church is the weaker vessel. Amen? We're promised to Jesus Christ. We're His woman. We're His bride. The devil can't attack Jesus Christ. He tried that on Calvary. It didn't work. He attacks the weaker vessel. He's attacking the church. He attacks this church. He attacks every church. Some of the churches, the devil's already defeated. He done it with the Ahab God said. Amen. But he attacks the word. He attacks the woman. I mean, I don't understand. I'm not going to mention Joel Osteen's name or any of those guys anymore. Not today. But I don't understand how they get up there and preach, you're going to have a good day and everything's sunshine and lollipops and just be the best you can be. You know, give me some money, put the money in the plate, and I'll fly my jet around, just tell everybody they're great. Put the money in the plate, and I'll tell you you're great. Amen? And then you leave about 8. Just don't be late. Just put the money in the plate. You know, all that good stuff, you know. All that, Tony Robbins, he one of those investor guys, that was those, what do you call those, motivational investor speakers or what? That's what he is. Yeah. Invest in me. Invest in my deception. I'll tell you you're great. I'd much rather hear I was great than I was a sinner. But if you love me, you tell me the truth. So here we are, we're sinners. Amen. But, I mean, you get that mess and you get that thing going and you don't realize that if God has a bride, the devil is going to attack it. It's not going to be sunshine and lollipops. It's not always going to be the easy road. It's not always going to be $1 million in the bank, your car's running well. Probably some of y'all got car trouble today, amen? Amen? If you got a car, you got trouble, amen?
Amen.
And, you know, it's not always going to be, you know, I've got $400 and the tires are $375 because they're $375 a piece now or whatever, you know, almost. It's not always going to be you got a little bit more than you need unless you're talking about Jesus Christ in that book. It's not always going to be that way. But that's how the devil works. He comes along and he attacks God's word. He attacks God's woman. Matter of fact, he's got harlots out there pretending to be God's woman that are not God's woman. Then he's got God's women out there, God's woman, the true church that don't live like it sometimes. Amen? Why? Because they're under attack. They're under attack. I mean, you are under attack. You're part of the bride of Christ. You are always under attack. And when things look like everything's going right, hang on. Something's coming. But the good news is the rapture's coming.
Amen.
The rapture's coming. And a couple guys, at least two or three that I know of, heard of it, 200 years, 200 AD, we're talking about the rapture coming. The rapture coming. These guys that want to buy food buckets, hide it in their backyard, and hide their guns and their ammo and their trash can or whatever they're going to do, and they're going to survive the Great Tribulation, they got another thing coming. First of all, if they're saved, they're going to be surprised happily that they're out of here. And if they're lost, they're going to be surprised that they ain't going to be able to do what they think they're going to do. And I'm telling you, I fully believe that Elijah and Moses are in the first half of that tribulation for 3.5 years, and it says Elijah has the power to shut up rain, and Moses has the power to turn water into blood, and I believe for 3.5 years there's not going to be any rain, and the water's going to turn to blood, and by the time people get to that three and a half years of that tribulation, they're going to want the mark of the beast just so they get a Cheerio and some water.
Right.
And people are like, I'm just going to make it on my own. I'm going to hide up in the hill. Hey, part of this place is going to burn up. What if he burns all the trees down you're hiding around? Well, hopefully you're saved, you won't be here, amen. But these people that aren't saved, they're going to go through the tribulation. They're not going to make it by buying food. food buckets from people I won't talk about on TV. They're not going to make it by getting army rations and hiding them in the, you know, burying them in their yard. I had a guy tell me one time, here's what you do. We're getting ready to go through it. What you do is you take your gun, you hide it under your gas line out in your yard. First of all, I'm on fuel oil, but you hide it under your gas line. They come by the metal detector, they'll pick up the gas line. They won't pick up your gun. I'm like, what the good is it going to do me under there? I'll be digging it up while they're shooting me. What good is it? But see, they don't think it through. What are you going to do with that? While you're digging it up, your neighbor's going to kill you and eat the 4 cans of roast beef you had anyway.
Right.
Amen? Because people are people. You're going to find out what sinners are really like if people go through the tribulation. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. But the devil, he comes along and he attacks God's word and he attacks God's woman. And then, oh, the devil, another way he attacks God's woman is just by, like we said, just the happy preaching. What happens then? Then people that are wrong and living like hell and just soaking up the things of the world think they're right. And people that are right that are going through some stuff that's just crushing them think they're wrong. When usually that's the opposite of the truth for both. You could be right dead center of God's will and just be smashed by this world. Amen. Everybody in here has been there one time or another. Amen. And then you turn a prosperity guy on by mistake. I hope it's a mistake. I hope you guys don't watch that trash on purpose. You turn him on and he's like, oh, yeah, you do the best. You want you to be happy. God wants you to be, oh, love, 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 joy, joy. And you're like, why am I so messed up? Maybe if I just send that guy $1,000, maybe my life will turn around. You know what might happen? You might do that and the devil might turn your life around just to get you out of the will of God. You say, well, the devil doesn't have that kind of power. Oh, sure, the devil got all kinds of power. He attacks the word of God. He attacks the woman, the weaker vessel, the church. You know what he's after? Look at verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. He's after God's worker. You say, well, God's worker. Yeah, you know what Adam was doing? You say, well, what was Adam supposed to do? Adam was put in the garden to dress it and keep it. You know what Adam had? He had his perfect place. You know, the kind of place that the UN tells you they're going to make? This utopia. The kind of place that the Republicans and the Democrats say, vote for me and you'll have this one day. The kind of place that if you'll just use paper instead of plastic and stop running your lawnmower and buy an electric car, which makes no sense, but you'll just have this one. Adam was in that place. You know what God gave him? He gave him dominion over that place. And he told him to dress it and keep it. He had his own place to take care of. And the devil didn't like that. He attacked God's worker. He wasn't after Eve, he was after Adam. You know what he knew? God made Adam in his image. God told Adam exactly what to do, what not to do. God fellowshipped with Adam. God loved Adam so much that he gave him his bride. He knew that God and Adam had a special relationship, and he knew that if he went at Adam, Adam was not going to fall for it. So he went to Eve to get Adam. He didn't get you directly all the time. He gets you indirectly. But he's after God's workers. Oh, you ever, I don't know how much street preaching you ever done. If you ever done any street preaching at all, you get out there in the street, you're preaching about, hey, you know, heaven or hell, where are you going to go? Well, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You start giving them Bible verses and somebody will walk up and go, brother, I understand what you're doing, but we don't think this is the way to reach people. Okay, walking around Walmart, not talking to anybody, that's the way you reach people? Paul was a street preacher. I mean, I can show you street preachers in the Old Testament. Amen? But they'll come up to you and go, well, brother, that's just not showing the love of God. No, when you don't tell them the truth and they die and go to hell, that's not showing them the love of God. Showing them the love of God is pointing them to Calvary and saying, hey, look, you're wicked. You're a sinner. In the Old Testament, they had to have a blood sacrifice of the animal. Jesus Christ came. He died. He shed his blood once for all. He was buried. He rose again. And when you call on him, that book says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's giving them the truth. That's pointing them to the love of God. Well, I don't want to tell them about their sin because I don't want to upset anybody. Oh, puke. How upset are they going to be when they're cast into a lake of fire for eternity? Could you imagine that? Burning forever and having to listen to Joel Osteen at the same time. I mean, good night.
Just be the best you can be down here.
Yeah, I hope he's not there. I hope he's saved. But I mean, just how you going to be the best you can be down there is just being a crispy critter, amen. You need to get saved now if you're not saved. But the devil does. He attacks the word. He attacks the woman, the church, the woman, the bride. He attacks the worker. He is constantly attacking the worker. I'm so sick of it seeing other brothers and sisters in Christ being used to attack brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
If they're preaching false doctrine and they're damning people to hell, praise God, tell them they're wrong, but talk to them. Pray for them. Go to them one-on-one. I'm so sick of people having a ministry of destruction. And they're everywhere. I mean, we got to call out the false doctrine so we don't get sucked away in this mess. But other brothers and sisters in Christ, when they do something that maybe is not right, or if they're a little off on something, I mean, good night. If they think the tribulation is going to be in 2023 and you think it's in 2024, just let it go. Amen. It's not that important for you guys to fight over. Amen. And when you got to, oh, the Mayan calendar, well, that's gone. Well, this, just keep lining up, and God keeps knocking them down. Amen. All the false prophets. Well, we're going to, somebody over in Missouri, we were having, the rapture was happening last September, and I thought, man, you're a bozo, but I hope you're right. Amen. Praise God. Let's go. But I mean, they date it all the time. Attack God's worker. Look at 7 through 10. And the eyes of them both were open. And they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. The devil attacks God's word. He attacks God's woman. He attacks God's worker. He attacks the fellowship of the believers. Do you realize when Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were in the garden. They didn't even know anything was wrong. There was nothing wrong. They sinned, and there was a difference between their relationship afterwards. They had to put clothes on. You know why? Because the flesh wasn't vile before that. Amen. He attacked the fellowship between God and Adam. I mean, the devil wants to take you out. If God won't let him take you out, he says, man, if I could just get him to doubt the word so he doesn't grow, if I could just attack him until he quits, if you quit, the devil wins, amen. That's if I quit, the devil wins. If I quit, can you say it? If I quit, the devil wins. Say it with me. If I quit, the devil wins, right? Because here we are in the last days of Laodicean church age, and if we quit, the devil wins. And I can't wait for the Lord to kick him in the teeth, cast him in the lake of fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'll be the biggest fan there. Woo! Touchdown, amen? That's probably the only thing that some people understand because they're at football games on Sunday instead of church. I'll just go, and they'll go, hey, we must have won, amen? But that's the thing. He wants to destroy your fellowship. He wants to destroy fellowship between the husband and the wife, between church members, between Bible-believing Baptists that are on the right page, amen? He wants to destroy fellowship between the Lord and his worker. That's what he wants to do. How does he do it? A million different ways. He attacks the word. He attacks the woman. He does it with false women. You say, well, it's always a, you know, you always think about adultery, fornication, all that stuff. What about the spiritual part of it? What about what's going on in some of these mega churches? I'm telling you, that's adultery and fornication. What it is they're messing around with another God. When people quit believing the word, you know what they started doing? They started living like the world. If you don't believe the word, you'll live like the world. What's he do? He attacks the word, he attacks the woman, he attacks the worker, he attacks their fellowship, he attacks their walk. Adam and Eve walked with God. Adam walked with God every day, and now he's hiding from him. So what's that mean? That means half the time you can't open your Bible and read it because you're hiding from God. Amen. Because the devil can get you talked into doing something against God, it's hard to open that book and read it. It's an attack of the devil. It's the subtlety of the serpent. That's what he does. You say, well, there's saved people in these mega churches. Everybody's telling them happy, happy, joy, joy. I'm sure there is. That's a good place to hide. I'm saved. I'm just going to die somewhere where I hear happy things. Amen. Judgment seat of Christ is going to bear this all out. Amen. The people that will endure sound doctrine, that will listen to Bible preaching, that will line up with the Word of God, that will get on their face and call out to God and ask Him to forgive them, that will get it under the blood and go forward, are going to be able to see some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ and lay them back down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I believe they might just give them back to you and say, keep them, and you'll wear them for eternity. Then for eternity, you'll be walking the street of gold and people go, hey, there's a guy that did something for the Lord. Oh, there's a guy that did something for the TV preacher. Amen. Oh, he was saved. He just didn't get... Nothing made it through the fire. Because you can't take your car, you can't take your house, you can't take your money, you can't take your dog, you can't take your, all this stuff with you. Don't even try to take your cat. Amen. Okay. So he attacks the word, he attacks the woman, he attacks the worker, he attacks their fellowship, he attacks... You know what he's after? Verse number 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. He's after the walk. If you're saved, he can't damn you to hell. He's after your walk. He doesn't want you to walk with God. He doesn't want you to walk with God. Look what he does in verse 4. Let's jump back up to verse 4. Talk about attacking something. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He attacked God's character. He said, God's lying to you. God's lying to you. You know, I have people tell me all the time, they don't even say these words, but this is what they're telling me. All that Bible's got mistakes. It's written by men. You know what they're telling me? God's lying to you. I'm saved by grace through faith. The Bible says it's not of works, as any man should boast. And they said, well, no, you got to work. God's lying to you. We'll take you over to the book of James, saying faith without works is dead. Well, you should have been in Sunday school if you missed Sunday school. James is written for the tribulation time. It's not written for the church age. James is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. They'll go, yeah, but we are the 12 tribes. We're the 12 tribes of Israel? What? First of all, there is no Jew or Gentile in Christ. Well, God lied to you. You got to work to get it. You got to work to keep it. God didn't lie to me. He told me the truth. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'm free from the religion. I'm free from the law because Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill it. He fulfilled it and died and shed his innocent blood on Calvary, and he offered it up to God the Father and said, I'll take that and I'll put it on David's account when he asked me to save him. I'll take it and I'll put it on Mac's account and Scott's account and on down the line. He put it on your account. He said, I'll accept that. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't take away the sins, but that blood will.
Amen.
Oh, God lied to you. Jesus was a good man and he was a prophet. I was talking to a guy the other day. Happened to be a colored guy. He's a big old boy, and I'm a Muslim. I just bust out laughing. Like, you're a Muslim? And he's looking mad, and I'm like, you're not going to be a Muslim if you get to heaven, because the only way you're going to heaven is through Jesus Christ.
Right.
And you know what he doesn't understand? Even the Quran says Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless, and he's in heaven. And there, Muhammad needed a Savior.
Right.
Their own book tells them that. God won't let them totally destroy the truth, even in their own perverted versions. There's a little bit of truth left in there. Jesus Christ, they say he's a good man, he's a prophet, and he was sinless.
Right.
How could he be sinless unless he's God?
Right.
Amen? He wants to destroy your walk. He wants to destroy your walk. And he attacks God's character. He attacks God, calling him a liar. Oh, you believe that Bible. Huh. You're one of those. Yeah, I'm one of those. I'll be honest with you. You guys can vote me out if you want. Whatever. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. I was talking to a guy at Walmart. He was trying to sell me a lottery, give me a lottery ticket to get me hooked on lottery tickets. And he told me we come from monkeys, and I told him you're an idiot.
Right.
I mean, that's where I got finally. I just said, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, he's telling me I'm stupid because I believe the Bible, making fun of my religion and all. I just said, you're an idiot, and walked off.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. I shouldn't have said it probably, but it was the truth.
Yeah. Right.
You know? I probably should have been more loving and kind, but I didn't have it in me that day. He said, live peacefully with all men as much as lieth in you. Didn't lie, there wasn't much lying in me that day. I didn't cuss him or anything. Amen?
Yeah.
I just told him the truth. You're an idiot. If you believe we came from monkeys, and the monkeys come from nothing, and nothing turned into everything, you're an idiot.
Right. Amen.
I mean, you add it together. You do the idiot math, and it all equals idiot. Nothing turned into everything. Everything turned into a monkey, and a monkey turned into you. Equals idiot. And I'm the goofball for believing in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. No, I'm probably a goofball, but not for that. I believe that. That didn't make me the goofball. I was a goofball before I ever knew that. So, whatever you want to believe about me, But don't call God a liar.
Right.
Attack God's character. Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then ye, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God. Attack God's motives. Isn't that something? Oh, God doesn't. He doesn't want you to do it for your own good. He's wanting you to not eat that fruit for His good, because He knows you'll be just like Him if you do that. What's He doing? He's smacking God in the face, and He's using the woman's pride to get her to eat that fruit. You can be just like God. You know what the Mormons think? They think they get to be gods. Because they go to a temple and they wear magic underwear and they do all this special stuff. You think I'm joking. I'm not joking. You can look it up. They do all this special stuff and they're going to get to be gods. They're going to have all these spirit babies. They're almost Muslims. They're going to have all these spirit babies and all this stuff. About 15 minutes in a nursery, they probably change their doctrine. Amen? Attack God's motives. Oh, it's not that He cares about you. He just doesn't. He knows when you eat that fruit, you're going to be a god. You're going to be like God. It was partially true because they were going to know good and evil then. But that wasn't why God told them not to do it. God told them not to do it because He wanted them to be happy in that place He put them in. Attack God's character. Attack God's motives. Attack God. He did that on Calvary. I told you that didn't work. That didn't work. Look at Revelation 20. Revelation 20. So the devil goes there and he shows up to Adam and Eve and he attacks God's word. He attacks God's woman. You know it's easier to attack. You're easier to attack if you don't know God's word. Do you realize she didn't know God's word? She added to it. She said you shouldn't eat it or touch it, lest you die. He didn't say anything about touching it. He said don't eat it. However, probably if you don't touch it, you can't eat it, so that's probably a good idea too. But she didn't quote God. She changed what God said. Attack God's word, attack God's woman, attack God's worker, after God's worker, alter the fellowship, alter the walk, attack God's character, attack God's motives. In Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 7, see where we talked about the Satan being bound for 1,000 years, Jesus ruling and reigning for 1,000 years on this earth, and it says when 1,000 years are expired, chapter 20, verse number 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints of God and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. God wins! He's already won. I got a book.
Amen.
So Satan's going to keep doing what he's doing as long as time goes on, as long as God lets him. But his days are numbered. Because after that, he cast Satan into the lake of fire for eternity with the beast and the false prophet. Isn't that something? So, God's got a plan and God's got the end already written down. Right? You know, excuse me for a second here. You know, when God saved you, He had a plan. He had your end written down. Church age, what's your end? You're going to be with Him forever. The devil can't change that. But he'll attack the Word. He'll attack the church. He'll try to destroy your fellowship with God. He'll try to destroy your relationships with others that are Bible-believing people that are trying to do right. He'll attack God's character or attack God's motives. And then Jesus Christ is going to come back. And, you know, everybody got excuses now. I mean, you could just look right now. I don't care if you're a Trump fan or a Biden fan. When Trump was in office, you could have looked at him and you had excuses to complain. The guy won't shut his mouth. He had a vulgar mouth. He never apologized about half the trash he said. I wish he'd just get right and just go forward. That's my issue with him. I really do. You know, whatever. I worship Jesus Christ, not Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not that I'm unthankful for some good things when they happen.
Yep.
And you get in here and you say, Biden, he done this, you know, and he, oh, you guys, he's all goofed up, can't think straight. Well, good night. You know, he's hanging around Nancy Pelosi. That'd do it to you. I don't know what's going on. But anyway, they're, you know, complaining about him. You look at him and say, this going on, that's going on. You got all kinds of excuses. Lord, if you just give us somebody besides Trump, okay, I'll give you Biden. Oh, if you give us somebody, okay, I'll give you Trump back. Oh, and then, if you, you know, where's it going to end? I'll tell you where it's going to end. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. After we're out of here, we're going to come back with him, Battle of Armageddon. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years perfectly. Guess what? He's not a Democrat, and he's not a Republican. He's God. And he wouldn't vote for either one of them. Amen? He's not a Democrat, he's not a Republican, he's not doing anything wrong. He's just. He is just. They have killed the just one, James said. He is the just one. You know what the just one was? He was their king and come back to justly rule, and they killed him. Our sin put him on Calvary. He put himself there for our sin. But here we go. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. He's going to let the devil loose. And we talked about this before. Why does he do that? First of all, so he can show man that even with perfect rule and reign, man's still wicked. And second of all, he's going to let the devil gather all these people together in one place so he can destroy them in one place. Say, well, wow, yeah, he could do that. He could do that anywhere. He could get them one by one all over the world. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to have all his saints together. They're going to be around the saints and around Jerusalem, and all those thousands and thousands and thousands of the devil's army are going to be there, and they're all going to see the show. They're going to see the precision and the power of God. Because all those people in one place, and they're going to see them all fire. Isn't that something? Oh, sure, God could get them no matter where they're at. But he calls them all together for the big show. And he shows them people, you think I'm powerful, you wait and watch. And they're probably quaking in their boots even though Jesus is with them and been with them. And all those armies come together and they're thinking, good night, we've never been in a battle like this. And he said, no, you haven't. Fire comes down and devours them.
Amen.
God wins. So in the meantime, the devil's going to attack God's word, attack God's woman, attack God's worker. He's going to mess with God's, say things about God's character. He's going to try to break up your fellowship with one another and break up your fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to try to mess up your walk, get you to quit walking. He's going to attack God's motives. And when it's all said and done, God's already won. Where's this at? Let's read this. Revelation 20. Let's read 9 and 10. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Amen.
That's the end of that. Isn't that something? This place is a nightmare. I mean, it really is. This life is just, I'm ready to get out of here. But God won. If you're saved, you won. Amen? So pray, read your Bible, and just try to put up with each other until the Lord calls us out of here. Amen. Amen.